your Bible for just a second. Holy Ghost is preaching this morning. We're just directing traffic at this point. Take your Bible and turn to John 11. Choir, get back in your place when you're able. We've got some work yet to do. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore his sister sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Go to verse 14 for the sake of time. "Then Jesus said unto them plainly," he's talking to his disciples, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Go to verse 21. Martha, old faithful Martha, meets him out on the road. "Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he'll rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Verse 32, the other sister shows up, more emotional, more outspoken, more demonstrative in her grief. "Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could this not this man which opened the eyes of a blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, was standing there, and the sister of him that was dead said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. The whole point of today's message is this. I was going to take you through this methodically. There's about 14 and a half hours worth of content we could preach right here. But let me just quickly dump it all out and share my heart. Lazarus, as he is dying, imagine the voices that Lazarus is hearing in the room where he is sick. There are people in the room who are saying, Lazarus, please get better. Lazarus, don't give up hope. Lazarus, stay strong. Lazarus, we've sent for Jesus. Lazarus, just keep it up, man. Don't give in. Keep going. Voices all around him. Voices even that were sent to Jesus. Voices that said, our brother, the one you love, he's sick. Voices speaking. In verse 3, it's a voice of love. You got to love Lazarus enough to send somebody to go get Jesus. It's a voice of genuine love. Somebody I love is sick. Boy, isn't that relatable. Mary and Martha were just doing all that they knew to do. Somebody I care about is hurting, and I need you to go get Jesus. He's the only one that can do anything about it. And then if you'll look at this incredible story, verse 21, Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. That's a voice of pain. That's real. It seems too late. It seems like it's over. The grave is sealed up. Lazarus is dead. He stinks. This is finality. This is nothing else to be done. All there is to do now is to sit for 7 days in the house with all of the windows and the openings of the house draped in black. That's what they were doing. Weeping, mourning, gnashing of teeth. Because Lazarus is dead. And it's, listen this morning, it's real. Their hearts were broken. Somebody they loved was sick. Intervention didn't come fast enough. And now from a heart of pain, a voice of pain, they are saying to Jesus, if you would have been here on time, if you would have been here in our time, everything would have been okay. It's a voice of pain. But even in those moments, there's voices of hope. Look at what she says in verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. We have to say this, praise God for Martha's faith. That Martha, even in the midst of pain and hurt, her brother's dead in the grave, 4 days, he stinks. And Martha's got the faith to be able to look at Jesus, who is late in her estimation, and still by faith say, but I know this isn't the end. It hurts. This is the reality. This is God's plan. This is providence. But I know and I believe in my heart that this is not the end of the story for my brother Lazarus. I know, Jesus, that there is coming a day. I know there's a resurrection coming, and it'll be the day that all the saints get up out of the grave. I know it's coming, but listen, Jesus wanted her to see something greater than a day that was coming. He wanted her to see that resurrection was standing right there in front of her. Verse 25, he says to her, I am, Martha, the resurrection. I am the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. My goodness. You see, the problem with all the voices that were speaking, the voice of pain, the voice of even hope, the voice of grief in verse 32, poor Mary, her heart's broken. She's trembling. She's weeping. It's a voice of grief. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Mary says, there's Jews weeping everywhere. There's all of this pain and all of this heartache. And listen, this is my point. This is my heart for this morning. There are certain situations and circumstances that everybody in this room is going through. And I can't possibly know what all they are. There's no way. It's impossible for me to know everything you're going through in your life. It's impossible for me to go here today to every single person and write down all of the problems and all of the circumstances and all of the situations, the things that would bring you to a place of grief and pain, and maybe even things like hope. All of those things are real. We're all human beings. We all experience it. It's there for us in the text, not only to see the story, but for us as human beings to have some hope. All the voices speaking, Lazarus is dead. There's voices that are beneath the curse. What is the curse? Voices beneath the curse. What is the curse? It's the fact that Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. It's the curse that every single one of us was born with. It's why homes grieve. It's why death takes place. It's why there's heartache in this life. It all goes back to who we are as people. We are fallen by nature, depraved in totality, and we have no hope outside of Christ. All of these voices beneath the curse. And mamas and daddies, you can love your children with all of your heart. And you can spend a lifetime being the voice of reason, being the voice of truth, being the voice of love, being the voice of compassion, and still your children, listen now, can turn their back on those voices. They can hear preaching, they can come to church, and somehow even good little church boys and girls can be backslidden and away from God and in this world. There are voices that are telling our teenagers that there's no point in all of this. There are voices telling moms and dads that divorce is the easiest way out. There are voices telling us on Instagram and TikTok and every social media platform out there that religion is a crutch and that it's fake and that it doesn't matter and that Jesus is an idea, it's a metaphor, it's a good thought, but it means nothing, and that once you die, there is nothing. No greater lie has ever been spoken in a voice. Voices surround our homes, our families, and our minds. Voices of truth, voices of love, voices of the culture, voices of the devil. Voices everywhere. But they're all voices beneath the curse. Then in that moment, when he speaks in verse 25 and says, "I am the resurrection and the life," he proves in that moment that, praise God, in all of the pain and all of the hurt and all the problems, there is a voice that is above the curse. A voice that is above the curse. The only way out for mankind, the only hope for human beings, is in that one voice that's above the curse. It's one thing to say it. It's one thing to talk about it. But it's another thing to walk up to a tomb where there is a dead man who has rotted. Totally, completely, absolutely dead. 1,000%. This is not some situation where his heart rate was low or he had a high fever and had some sort of seizure and then maybe somehow Jesus startled his heart back into rhythm. There was a systole on the monitor. There was no heart rate. There was no blood pumping. Everything had coagulated. Everything was in rigor mortis. Listen to me. Lazarus of Bethany was dead. He was totally dead. And then Jesus, who said, "I am the resurrection and the life," not only talked about it, but then he went to the front door of that grave and demonstrated it. And all of the voices of life, all of the voices of sincerity, no matter how loud Martha and Mary wept, no matter how many mourners came from Jerusalem to Bethany, no matter how hard they cried at the tomb, no matter what they said, their voice could do nothing for their brother Lazarus. Why? Because he was dead. But then a different voice. Verse 43. It's a totally different voice than any other voice that had spoken to Lazarus. And it was in a tone and it was in a way that Lazarus had never heard before. Verse 43 and 1. "He thus had spoken. He cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And Lazarus got up out of the grave." The voice that death could not ignore. You say, "That's a wonderful story. That's powerful. It proves the deity of Christ. It proves that Jesus is exactly who he has said he was and what he's going to do in Jerusalem. I know the story, Pastor, but what is the point of all of this?" If you'll look carefully, and if you'll look closely, there is for the believer a type of yourself in this story of Lazarus. You see, on July the 13th, 2005, in that same old building that we had pursuit this weekend, on the right-hand side on the second row, about two or three seats in on the pew, God the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night, sitting on that green pew, God the Holy Ghost came by the grave of my heart. I was as dead spiritually as Lazarus was physically. And God the Holy Ghost began to speak through the stone wall of my lost heart. And he began to say my name out loud. "Once dead,
Winston! And for the first time in my entire life, after hearing a lifetime of voices and noise and all of the religious activity that a 15-year-old boy could muster, for the first time, Brother Ken, I heard a voice that I had never heard before. And my dead, cold heart began to beat from the inside out. And my eyes began to open. And I began to realize I'm in stinky old grave clothes. And I need rescuing out of this grave. And Jesus spoke my name. And all I had to do was say, "Here I am. I'm coming towards you." And that moment, God saved me and God changed me. John chapter 10 verse 27 says this, My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I heard the voice of Jesus calling at the tomb of my heart. And if you're here today and you're lost and undone, or if you're a believer who is in a predicament and a hardship and a heartache, and you're tired and you're weary and you're worn out and you can't take another day of pain and pressure, you hear me? You go back to the place where you decided it was over. You go back to the spot where you declared, not Jesus, not God, but where you declared that was over. And like Mary and Martha, you take Jesus to that spot. And you say, "Lord, right here is where I got tired. Lord, right here is where I stopped praying. Lord, right here is where I stopped believing. But God, I believe you and I believe your word and I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost and I believe in your son Jesus and I believe in the resurrection day just like Martha talked about. And God, I believe that even right now, you can do something that I cannot and then you can intervene in the situation." There are two types of people under the sound of my voice. There are those that are saved and on their way to heaven. And there are those who are lost and undone without Jesus. Could it be that right now, in this moment, that there's somebody standing on the outside of the grave of your heart and he's starting to whisper your name. He's starting to call out your name. And maybe for months you've been warring and wrestling with God. But today, for the first time, you're starting to understand what's taking place.